This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And joining us today for his regular visits with us, Jeff Reynolds, who is the senior editor of Restoration-News.com. Bookmark it. It's good. Jeff Reynolds is joining us from Florida.
He's probably the only one experiencing winter right now.
I know. It's probably colder where you are than where we are.
Yeah, it finally warmed up today. It's up to 55, but we had lows below 20 a couple of days ago. So we got a polar blast, and we don't know what to do with ourselves down here.
Right. Well, you haven't been there so long that you've forgotten cold.
Oh, and I've basically become a native Floridian. My blood is thinned out. I can't handle the cold anymore. I'm turned into Florida man.
Well, I have a really great recipe for you. I wanted to share this. I've been saving it. There's a guy in Florida, probably lives near you because, you know, it's like, it was like, I'm from New Jersey. Oh, do you know so-and-so? You probably know this guy. He's making tacos from the iguanas, because the iguanas, which we know they're an invasive species, they probably get out of like Jimmy's cage when he got his exotic pet, and they fall out of the trees. And so this guy's been collecting them, skinning them, cooking them. He fries them, nice crispy edges. That's how I like my iguana meat. Then he takes the eggs and he grinds them up in a Cuisinart and he makes a sauce. That's something. Oh, I don't know.
Well, luckily we don't have up here in the Panhandle. We don't have a lot of iguanas. That's more okay. of a South Florida thing. They like the Everglades. It's more, you know, tropical-ish.
An uncle down there in the Keys, so I'll have to ask him.
So he knows him.
He knows him. Right. Yeah, he works at a bar down there. He's a musician. He's a Eric Clapton kind of guitar guru guy down there. And I should ask him. Hey, Rick, you've been eating those tacos.
That's a tough life he leads playing guitar in a bar in the Keys.
Yeah. He likes it. He's been doing it for years. Amazingly been doing it for years.
Why would
he's very
you move
good.
On? I mean, that's
I know.
Paradise.
I know. So, okay, like I said, you want to definitely follow restoration-news.com. That is a great site. Of course, we weren't going to mention this, but I kind of have to because I'm sort of tired today, so I'm punchy. So I am going to wish you guys both a happy National Fart Day. Okay?
Oh, thanks.
Well,
yeah, you're welcome. It's because I love you.
Well, I'll switch it around and I'll go, maybe we need to celebrate Warren Franklin, not because it's National Fart Day, but because it's National Weather Person's Day as well. Come on.
Okay.
He does our morning weather, so we should celebrate Warren today.
God bless Warren Franklin. He's up at 4:30 every morning to make sure that the news is out and the weather is done. So he's working hard for the people.
He's going to be celebrated. Of course, it's also Western Monarch Day, and I like how you had to put in there that it's the butterfly, not our current state of government.
Right. No kings. No kings.
Right. No kings unless it's Tina Turner.
Well, you know what? Speaking of that, then we should probably do this. I know, Jeff, you follow Oregon politics still. Of course, we've been following that horrible gas tax that they tried to put through. And the referendum, and in fact, one of the co-sponsors on that, Ed Deal, is running for governor now. I mean, momentum, major Herculean effort that was just pretty amazing in the state of Oregon. You had 250,000 Oregonians that were like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to have a say in it. So it was supposed to go on the November ballot, which is also when Tina Kotek is on the ballot. Well, we can't have that. So they don't. The Democrats don't like that. So now they're monkeying around. I guess it's Senate Bill 1599. They want to move this referendum to the May ballot when we all know turnout numbers are abysmal. People are getting ready for summer. What do you think? I mean, this is so cynical.
Yeah, well, this follows Secretary of State Tobias Reed after he came out a couple of weeks ago and said that if they want to move it to the May ballot, there's time, but they have to pass a bill to do that by like February 27th or something, some deadline like that. So that's why they're pushing hard to do this. I can't imagine, you know, they could pretty much do whatever they want, you know.
Yeah, they can.
But they're also, so not only are they pushing this to the May ballot so it will have the minimal amount of damage on Tina Kotek's reelection campaign, but they're also starting to pass more replacement taxes because they know this is going to go down in flames. So they're starting to introduce new bills in the legislature to pass a gas tax and a vehicle tax and a business tax.
A sales tax.
Yeah. No, it's and how many times have Oregonians rejected a sales tax?
Every damn time.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, well, hey, maybe we can get that on the ballot in time for November if they pass that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. I'm thinking, well, because I know in Salem, we've got the mayoral and the city council races. This may up the profile on those a little bit. And again, if you look at if the same people that were behind the signature gathering referendum kind of get behind an effort to raise awareness that it is on, if the shenanigans go through, which I don't see why they wouldn't in, you know, the tyrannical state of Oregon. Maybe it'll kind of have some coattails for the races, the down ballot that are really critical.
Yeah, let's hope so, because you're right. That May primary date is usually a low turnout deal. So yeah, maybe that'll help get more people elected. I do know that the we've got the new taxes that they're introducing, but we also know that the Oregon budget isn't anywhere near as bad as they're saying. There's no justification for passing these new taxes. They already announced a while back that there's going to be a record size kicker tax return. But then also the revenue forecast keeps getting better and better because corporate profits are saving the state budget. I saw that headline today and just had to laugh because, you know, the lefties don't like corporations very much, but they're saving their bacon on the state budget.
Oh, that's just got to suck for them.
Yeah.
But aren't there
people about that?
I know. Oh, love hate. So isn't there some pending legislation as well to sort of rework how the kicker is handled? Because they're always getting there trying to get their greedy little paws on the kicker.
Well, of course. Yeah. No, it is a weird thing to have in your state laws, but it's a great check. It's the only check we have on their ridiculous spending habits. So we've got to keep it. If they put it to the people, the people would soundly reject anything that they propose there.
But they don't need the people. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that.
They're not dumb enough to do that.
No, and I know in some years the kicker, it's been like, well, thank God for the kicker, because otherwise, whoops.
Yeah. No kidding. And I mean, they over-collect, they over-tax, they overspend, and then they cry poverty every single legislative session. It's the same old tired routine.
I know. It's rinse, lather, and repeat, and it just gets so tedious, but yet these people still keep getting elected. It's mind-boggling. It looks like the sponsors of this bill, too, are Senator Wagner and Representative Fahey. Surprise, surprise. Interesting, on the Twitter, on the X post here, this is from Representative Dwayne Yunker. It's the Greater Idaho Movement, kind of talking about how that's about the same number of people represented by the counties who've passed Greater Idaho measures asking to be let out of the state. You know, and we've had conversations. We had a representative from Northern Idaho, Representative Dale Hawkins, on to talk about that, to kind of get the Idaho perspective. And they're like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't know why Oregon or Idaho would want to do that. No.
Idaho doesn't want the conservative part of Oregon?
They don't want there. He was talking about all the different problems. It's like pot is legalized in Oregon. It's not in Idaho. So that would change. The minimum wage is $7.25 in Idaho. It's $14 or $15. There's a lot of infrastructure and stuff and costs that would come along with it. You remember, Hunter, when we were talking? He had a couple of good bullet points that was like, it's not like this glorious gift that everyone thinks Idaho should feel that it is.
Yeah. So one is you know, the extensive pot farms and sales that we have in Eastern Oregon would literally shut down overnight. You would have a lot of people making double minimum wage almost just because of Oregon's minimum wage versus Idaho's. but you also wouldn't have the large business infrastructure that Western Oregon has coming to offset the cost for Idaho of bringing aboard Eastern Oregon.
So it's a little more nuanced.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is very interesting. I guess Oregon's baggage spills over. And
I know. Oregon, we're just not that into you, Oregon. All right, let's go ahead and take a break again. We're talking. We have our regular, what is it, bi-monthly? I never get this right. If you're on twice a month, that's bi-monthly?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yes, correct.
For whatever reason, I have a mental wall on that. Okay, great. Anyway, we got Jeff Reynolds on today, restoration-news.com. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and your friendly neighborhood Bi-Mart.
All right, Bi-Mart. Yeah, we've got the savings book out there. Yeah,
the savings book
is today's
out.
Thursday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no lucky numbers today, but that'll come next week.
But you can still go get some ammo. Okay, so this is always a hot button issue, especially in Oregon politics. You've got a lot of single issue voters in Oregon that will just simply, they can't necessarily see the larger playing field. And that's a discussion for a different day. But this is an interesting report that you've got over at restorationnews.com. Headline is, new report, abortion is skyrocketing in America due to the abortion pill. This doesn't surprise me, and I think the abortion pill is a unique evil because it basically takes and turns every woman's bathroom into an abortion clinic. You can never escape that. It's just so atrocious, and it's not as simple as, having a period or passing it. I mean, this thing is so bad. So talk a little bit about these numbers, because we had Roe v. Wade was overturned, but now it seems like things have gone in the wrong direction.
Yeah. So what we point out in the report, and thanks for bringing this up, this is an important topic that we think the Trump administration can take a stronger stand on. And he's campaigned as the most pro-life president in history, and he's right. He appointed the Supreme Court justices that decided on the Dobbs case that overturned Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
So. So you think, most people probably assume that abortions have gone down, and they did go down for a while after the Dobbs decision. But really, if you dig into the data, the lowest number of abortions probably hit between 2017 and 2019 nationwide.
Okay,
and then it started. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'm looking at you in the article. There's this chart, and I'm looking because the Dobbs decision was 2022.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You're looking, it's significantly 21 and 22 were low, and they shot way up in 23 and way up in 24.
That's right. But they had been trending down even before Dobbs. But then what ended up happening is the Biden administration used the COVID pandemic as an excuse to remove all restrictions on the abortion pill. It can be mailed across state lines now. The biggest problem that Biden created was that you no longer have to see a doctor in order to get prescribed the abortion pill. And that's really important because you will never know if you have an ectopic pregnancy if you're not seen by a medical professional, and if you that's a fatal condition, or it can be a fatal condition. So
And you've got, it looks like an ROAF study from April 2025 found that nearly 11% of women who ingested mifepristone from 2017 to 23 experienced a serious adverse health event, including sepsis, blood transfusion, hospitalization, infection, hemorrhage, uterine rupture, ruptured ectopic pregnancy, and even death. 11%.
Yes. And we've also cited many cases that have wound their way through the criminal courts, where boyfriends have given their pregnant girlfriends the pill unsuspecting in their food or drink, you know, that kind of thing. One father has become a huge advocate against the abortion pill after his daughter was killed in such an incident. And so, you know, there are all kinds of problems that are just completely ignored by the abortion industrial complex. These people really, they don't care about any of the negative effects of abortion. You know, never mind the emotional scarring it causes. We're talking about actual physical harm that the procedures do, whether it's the pill or whether it's a surgical procedure. And that's, they minimize that. They're still out there claiming that the abortion pill is safer than Tylenol. We have definitively demonstrated that over 1 in 10 people who take the abortion pill will have some sort of major adverse effect. So,
And it's actually two pills.
Right.
So the first one is the mifepristone. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one that causes the death of the fetus. And then misoprostol is the second thing that you have to take to get your body to expel the dead fetus.
Which is, you're still giving birth. You're giving birth to a dead baby.
Oh, I think.
Right.
Probably on your toilet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so, it's the obscenity of it all.
The one thing we know about this industry is they do not care about human life, period, in the story.
Nope.
So they don't really care about the effects on the mother-to-be.
Yeah, no, never mind the dead kid, right? The mother that's going to face all kinds of problems that they never talk about or they minimize. They don't care about anything other than having more abortions. When Hillary Clinton campaigned on making it safe, legal, and rare, she was lying.
Remember those days? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, another part of the dialogue that always bothers me, too, is if you don't have a uterus, you can't comment. It's like the fathers of are completely left out of this equation. Of course, we've seen what's happened culturally to sort of the demonization of men. God forbid you're a white heterosexual male. But I mean, there's no, if the man wanted to come in and say, well, I'll raise the baby. And you, it's just the whole argument.
You don't have rights.
It is at the altar of self. And it's just horrific.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Denise. It's a lot about selfishness, living your best life, and not having any consequences for your actions, and being able to have it all. The feminist lie that a woman can have it all, and if it gets in the way of your career, just have an abortion, then there's no problem. I've got a daughter, so I understand, I recognize, and I empathize with the fact that it's a very difficult position to be in, unplanned or unwanted pregnancy. Thank God I haven't had to deal with that yet. Treating it as if it's just another medical procedure. Is not doing it justice.
Well, they're not even treating it as a medical procedure. Now it's just pop a pill like you would a Tylenol or an ibuprofen.
Right. And we were talking off air here that we have documented multiple cases where there are doctors in blue states that are under active indictment in states like Texas and Louisiana, where it's illegal, because they have mailed the abortion pill to these states where in violation of state law. But the blue states have shield laws that block any sort of extradition for them to face a court for their crimes.
Wow. So you think you're safely ensconced in a red state that has sane laws and cares about the sanctity of life, and your daughter or whoever can just, go over to Oregon or make a phone call? I mean,
right. Yeah. No, the state of Texas has a heartbeat law, which, if you can detect a fetal heartbeat, then it's illegal, which is generally about 6 weeks.
Six weeks.
Of gestation. Mm-hmm. So, But they've seen an increase in abortions in the state of Texas, where it's virtually illegal because of the nailing of the abortion pill across state lines.
Well, I just, my big fear in having four daughters of my own is they've created such an easy pathway that now if one of them thinks they might be pregnant, like their menstrual cycle is a few days late, which, you know, in your teens and 20s, that's very reasonable to assume.
Yeah, it happens.
But now all of a sudden, it's just like, go online, don't know if they're confirmed pregnant or not, and order up an abortion pill just because they might be late. And I'm just sitting here going, how scary is that?
Right, that you wouldn't even know as a parent. You wouldn't be able to offer counsel or advice on how to handle things.
Well, we got like a minute left in this segment. I mean, have you seen anything from all the Right to Life groups that are focusing? Have they shifted? Have they pivoted to this now?
You know, I really haven't paid much attention. I haven't heard much about that. Yeah, you're right. There aren't a lot of groups out there talking about the mifepristone. I will. There are a few Right to Life groups that we work with, Restoration of America Foundation. But I think we're the ones that have been really pushing this issue because it's very important to our organization. You know, we are all about returning to the foundational principles of America. Life is chief among the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news, and then we will be back with more of Jeff Reynolds. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
And speaking of GA at Home and Green Acres Landscape, we need to mention real quick our 5th annual food and clothing drive, which is going on right now, happening right now. Barrels are at our sponsors. If you go to kykn.com and click on the food drive tab, you'll see who our sponsors are. Be sure to go visit them. They're fantastic. We love them. And then you can click and you can see where you can drop things off. And I know that who was over? Jeff was over at Green Acres yesterday, and they already had a full barrel. So,
yep, and he's going to be out at Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning next week. So I'm assuming they've probably got a full barrel, knowing what a great job they do with this food and clothing drive.
They set the bar really high. They like kick butt on this. So that's awesome. So again, it is our 5th annual food and clothing drive. If you want to see items that we need, we had Matt Massera on Monday because we're partnering with Bebold Street Ministries. And so, you know, baby wipes and non-perishable food, clothing, things like that. Even though it doesn't feel like winter, it's still cold.
Yeah, exactly. It may not feel that way anywhere but where Jeff Reynolds is in Florida.
Right. They got the cold stuff.
It is still, I mean, we're going to get down to 30 tonight. So yeah.
That's cold. That is cold. Yeah. I had frost here. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So one of the stories that we've been looking at, and we talk about this a lot, these things are awful. You know, the euphemism, 15-minute city. Oh, how lovely. You've got a grocery store and you've got your doctor and everything is just right there. You don't have to drive. You can just walk everywhere. That sends a chill down my spine. But now Britain is enacting this where drivers must apply for a permit to travel outside of their neighborhoods. How lovely. Oh.
Sounds like Minneapolis.
Ooh, right? papers, please.
Yeah, no, and both of them are run by communists. So yeah, that actually fits, Hunter. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? So it says the Oxford City will be divided into 6 zones. Drivers can apply for 100 free travel days. Please, sir, if I may, if it pleases the crown, may I drive outside my district? Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's so amazing.
Isn't it?
And that's one of the, I mean, you know, there's no restriction in America on your freedom of movement. You're free to travel among the states. Yeah, that's what makes America America. Is that, you know, you can pick up and go wherever you want and reestablish your life and start a business and own some property, and you know, yeah. that's what Europe abhors. There's a completely different mindset that does not honor individual liberty and property rights. No. And yeah.
Remember, I mean, they for years were touting the national health system as this great, you know, beacon of quality health care. You know, well, if only we had like, you know, like the UK, and it's, of course, it's terrible. You wait forever. Half the time, there are people that are literally on waiting lists that are dying before they can get in to get basic tests.
Yeah, no, that's everything that socialism touches, it ruins, because it's a parasitic system. It just sucks it dry. Whatever is controlled by the government eventually is going to have to be rationed, which is now what they're doing with travel in England.
Yeah, that's right. They're literally rationing travel. Now, see, I could see something like that happening in Oregon or Washington, maybe someday. I don't know. I mean, you've got a lot of states that businesses are leaving. So they're sort of doing this by saying, well, even if you leave and you go to Florida or Texas, we're still going to tax you. Wasn't California trying to do that, or was that New York saying, oh, yeah, you can leave, but you still got to pay?
California did that, and then New York, Mamdani wanted to implement something like that. That's what he said during the campaign. We'll see how effective.
We all see how well everything's working out in NYC under Mamdani. If you've ever been in New York in the wintertime, the pictures I'm seeing coming out of there where basically people have been plowed in, you're not getting out till like April, if that. And then, of course, it reminds me of New York in the 70s when I was a kid, when I would go visit grandma and grandpa in Queens, and we'd go through piles and piles and piles of garbage. It's disgusting. I can't tell you how bad it stinks. You need to be there. But that's what's happening now. And it's only been a month, and it's just falling apart.
Yeah, that's what happens when communists take over. You know?
Yep.
they have all kinds of great ideas on how humans should live, and absolutely no practical solutions to any of the real problems that face us in the real world.
Well, I was going to say, but wait, isn't the bus system and the... it's not all free yet. What?
No. Oh,
come on. That's what his big promise was. Everything's going to be free.
I know. It's going to be lovely. I follow the actor Michael Rapaport, who's, you know, he's a typical New Yorker. You got to, you know, put a filter on there. We could never play his commentary on the air, but he's about had it. And he's going around. There's a lot of people documenting it. And you have all these people, and they're all surprised. Wait a minute, what? So you've got all these ignorant people. And again, I blame this on our education system, the public schools. They have no clue, none. It just sounds good. So, okay, I'll check the box.
Yeah. Here in Florida, we have passed a law stating that you have to, children, in order to graduate high school, you have to go through a Horrors of Communism course.
Bravo.
They actually teach the real history of communism throughout history, which is fantastic, you know. but you're never going to see that in Oregon, are you?
Well, it just hasn't been done right. Come on.
Communism hasn't been done right. Well, you know, Oregon is always the petri dish, quietly trying all these new things, because socialism is not new and it's awful. But and then they try to sell it. It's always with euphemisms, and it always comes under the guise of convenience. Oh, how convenient.
Well, convenience.
Put this chip
safe,
in your
right?
hand. You never have to use a credit card again. How convenient.
Yeah. It's convenience and at the expense of personal liberty. Personal liberty is anathema to communism. That's why you're not allowed to drive outside of the Oxford town without a permit.
You know what? It's kind of depressing, though. It seems like sort of the tipping point of the people that are more than happy to give up everything for a false sense of security, for a little convenience, are starting to outweigh the people that know how absolutely horrific that is, like us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It used to be part of the American spirit, because you know, we still carried the revolutionary ideals forward. I think throughout history that's completely unique, and throughout history, a majority of humans are more easily swayed by the security argument than the liberty argument. So it's a vocal minority that needs to push that forward and remind people why we should cherish liberty and not give it up.
A lot of it's bored trust fund babies too, with nothing better to do and no purpose in life. So there they take on this big one that they're, you know, because I'm helping.
Right. No, it's all about personal comfort. It has nothing to do with principles or liberty or you know, the American ideals or anything.
Well, what did we see with COVID? Everyone was willing to give up their liberties until it directly affected them. Then they get a little, wait a minute, that's not right. You know.
Well, then they got mad at everybody else that wanted their liberty.
Yes, having, you know, and I think probably all of us had experiences that way where we were like, this is wrong. This is not okay. I'm not doing this. And then reactions from family. I mean, I'm sure we had to deal with it over holidays and things like that. I know Hunter and I did. Mm-hmm. And it's like, do you not, you could not pierce the bubble. Well, you know that masks, they don't keep fire particles out. You do know that the virus doesn't like just stay up in the air in the restaurant. And it's like, why are you buying all this?
None of it ever made any sense.
It didn't make any sense. Yeah. I have to be vaccinated so that you're protected, but that's not how this works.
Right. That's not a vaccine.
Right. Correct.
That was the one thing that always got me. From day one, it was like the logic just went right out the window.
Right out the window.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was making the observation loudly and routinely from May 2020 on that even if the virus was as deadly as everyone said it was going to be, we didn't have to completely suspend constitutional liberty in order to mitigate the effects of the disease.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have people now, you know, 5-6 years out wondering why everything is in a shambles. The economy is terrible. Our kids have gotten mental disorders up the, you know, the wazoo. I mean, everybody is depressed and people are getting meaner and everything is just generally more awful.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. No, and of course, 2020 was also the summer that we first started seeing all these riots and everything else, and yet, so we saw all the riots, the George Floyd riots, the BLM riots, and the COVID lockdowns and everything else, and yet, 5 years later, New York City elected that guy, Zohran Mamdani. An abject, outright, you know, loud and proud communist or democratic socialist.
Right. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got to wonder, you know, clearly we haven't learned all our lessons.
No.
But yeah, you see what's happening in New York with basic services completely breaking down. That's exactly what's happened in Portland because you can't find a competent person to run for public office in Portland.
No.
Then you end up with a situation like England. I mean, we're only a couple of steps away where the command economy is more important than, you know, allowing people to live their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how far are we from being arrested for posting memes? I mean, over there, the thought police are terrible. And of course, can't forget that Seattle elected Mayor Katie. We've got little Mayor Katie, the little socialist up there. And you know how that's all going to go. And of course, you know, right now they're rioting and doing everything they are in Minneapolis and in Minnesota. And it's, you know, 17 below. Just you wait till it's 70 and sunny.
Yeah, no, it's going to be spicy. And yeah, you know the reason they're rioting is not over any sort of high-minded principle.
No, not at all.
It's 100% to try to make Donald Trump look bad, and to show that there's resistance to him, and to drag him down for the midterm. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah, and I, you know, seeing shades of sort of the same playbook that was used in COVID as well, where you've got this one singular incident that they're going to build, and then they're going to start cracking down. I mean, I don't know. You got. You can't go in here. You've got them building little autonomous zones within Minneapolis again, where you have to show your papers. I think I put a comic in our show prep where this lady is literally, we're literally creating a place that we know who's coming and going in and out of our neighborhoods. It's like, You mean like ICE on the border, the Border Patrol?
It's okay for them because they're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Like their
authoritarian laws weren't written by old dead white slave owners. So that makes them all better.
Oh, that makes them all better. All right. Oh my gosh. Sometimes you just can't. Not the brightest bulbs in the box. Okay, we're going to take our last break. We're talking with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com, and you are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill in Cozy's New York Deli.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're wrapping up our conversation and our busy, busy broadcasting week with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. So we were talking about, 15-minute cities and all the craziness and, you know, what we might expect this summer. But, of course, then hearkening back to the summer of love in Seattle, headline here, which is very nice to see, jury finds city of Seattle liable for teen's death in the CHOP zone and awards the family $30 million. So this was one of three young black men. Was it three that were killed?
I believe it was three.
Okay.
And there was probably a few other stabbings and other things occurred within that zone.
They were run by a warlord.
Mm-hmm.
The warlord was the boss. Yeah. I mean, how's that going to work out in your 15-minute city? Because that's essentially what Chop Chaz was a 15-minute city. It was six blocks that was under the control of BLM and whoever else, you know, the hangers-on, and, of course, this warlord. Because, you know, there's a power vacuum. Someone's going to step in, and you got a warlord in Seattle.
And it's good to see some justice actually in the Pacific Northwest here, you know, because that whole situation was absurd. They completely abdicated any responsibility whatsoever for keeping the streets safe and crime prevention and all of that stuff. And that's why we live in a republic, is because everybody deserves the same protection under the law, which, you know, your right to life, property, movement, all of those things that were completely taken away by this lawless, riotous, violent revolutionary movement. Good for them. Now they got to come up with more tax money to pay out this settlement. But those people, it's only too bad that they can't be held personally criminally liable for the decisions that they made, because not allowing law enforcement or telling law enforcement to stand down when the law is clearly being broken dozens and hundreds of times a night. In Portland, how many times did they set fire to police stations and the police union building? Same in Seattle. So when they're being told to stand down when active crimes are being committed, then there ought to be liability.
Yeah. And they're saying that the medics really, they had a hard time getting in there, and they were lured in. And the young man's name was Antonio Mays Jr. And so again, you had the six, I mean, I feel for the neighbors that were trying to live in there. I don't know how many of them were actively supportive of this crap that was going on, but, you're basically held hostage. Look at what's happening now in Portland around the ICE facility. There's those apartments that are there, and that one woman who went out and confronted them and tried to get, I think Julie Parrish represented her and tried to get them to, enforce the noise ordinance.
Right.
And I mean, it's that Mickey Mouse up there in Portland.
Well, in that same apartment building, they host a food bank that is supplying the rioters with meals.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's there's all kinds of the residents aren't allowed to bring guests into the apartment building now because of the security risk. It's insane having to live there and have all the rules suspended because all these adolescent rioters are having a temper tantrum.
Who don't even really know what they're there for, and they don't care about it. It's, insert cause A here, and then, what's my chant for the day, and off I go. I mean, that's how ridiculous this is.
Yeah, with pre-printed signs paid for by, the Soros network. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
and then, of course, go ahead.
Oh, they've got, they literally, they have apartments around there that are used for bathrooms and hangouts between, you know, riots and cleanup after you get tear gas, whatever else. And I'm just going, those people need to be held responsible for what's going on. This is a city that literally said you can't have fireworks on 4th of July, but these people are allowed every night 24/7 to blow off whatever fireworks they want as long as it's the ice building.
Well, let's not forget that how many of the Portland city councilors are Democratic Socialists themselves and are
five or
supportive
six
of the riot. Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. And loud and proud.
I mean, is it?
Yeah,
like I mean, certainly five or six
sure,
that
okay
have admitted it, but they all are.
Oh, come on. There's some conservatives. Aren't there some conservatives on the Portland City Council? Yeah.
Okay.
Another disturbing trend, we got a couple minutes left, is now they're getting school kids involved. They're starting to, you know, you got these radicalized teachers, these, and of course the nurses and just the awfuls in general. And then, you know, I've seen video, I think it was out of New York, where you've got kindergartners. Here's a sign and off you go. And then you've got middle school kids. And Hunter, I think we were talking earlier, they're out there. Basically, it's a skip day. That's what this is. But they're radicalizing these kids.
Yeah, that reminds me of 2020. I wrote an article about this mother with a 2-year-old at one of the marches in downtown Portland. And kid was caught on camera by, you know, some citizen journalist with their cell phone saying F the police. He's 2 years old.
Well, and that's jeez, that's why they want these kids involved. They want these kids out there because everyone can agree we don't want to see a kid get tear gassed or flash banged or, you know, arrested and, you know, dragged out in handcuffs. So what do? You get these kids out there as human shields now. These are, I mean, I'm sitting there going, any parent that is taking their kids down to the Portland ICE facility to protest, you deserve to be under suspicion from DHS because you're just using your kid as a prop and a human shield at that point.
Yeah, no, there's no separation between parents like that or teachers like that and Hamas.
Yeah. Yeah, and the same thing with
using innocent people as human shields.
Yeah, and all the nurses that are now coming out and saying, you know, we're going to withhold care, or we're not going to treat you, or, you know, basically we'll leave you to die if you God forbid voted the way I don't agree.
How about the one that was giving out instructions on how to apply the neurotoxin to ICE?
Yeah, she's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I got to say real quick, we're almost out of time, but I got to get libs of TikTok because this is getting called out a lot. And a lot of these people are losing their jobs as they should.
Right.
And it just, you know, it kind of talks to keep your health. Don't go in there if you don't have to, or, you know, I don't know, move to a red state. I don't see this happening in red states.
How are we supposed to have confidence in the medical profession?
You don't. You can't.
Yeah, no, it makes me seriously consider who I'm going to use as a medical professional and whether or not that person was an actual DEI hire or somebody who's a radical.
Yeah. Well, on that happy note, we are out of time. Jeff, always good to have you again. Jeff Reynolds, Senior Editor, Restoration-News.com. That is it for us. Go out, enjoy the weekend. We will see you next week.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.